Shalom, today the 13th day of the month of Tevet of the year 5777, corresponding to the 11th of January of the year 2017. And we continue now with our introductory discussions on the book of Job. And after the previous discussion of the overall view of our rabbinical sages in the Talmud and the Midrash about the book of Job, its provenance, the central character, Job himself, and his companions, I thought it would be interesting for us to look at the Talmud inside the text of Tractate Bava Basra on Daf Tes Vov, that is the folio 15 on the A side of the page, and we are bang in the middle of a discussion here in the Talmud of the authorship of all of the books of the Tanakh. The authorship of the five books of Moses is quite straightforward, but who did write Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and the other books of the Tanakh? And we come right bang into the middle of this discussion, and we have the first opinion that it offered in the Talmud, in the Gemara, about the authorship of Job. Moshe Kosav Sifroi, Moses wrote his book, that is the Sefer Torah, the five books of Moses. Or Parashas Bil'om, and the portion of Bil'am, in other words, the section in the book of Numbers that is the prophecy of Bil'am and the whole story of Bil'am, for Moses could only have known this through prophecy, and Bil'am is not recorded to have written anything that has come down to us. It was Moses who also wrote this part of the Torah. V'Iyov, and says the Talmud, also the book of Job. And now this statement is adduced as proof of another of the opinions of the sages about when Job lived. Messiah lei l'Rabbi Levi bar Lachmo. This statement that we've just heard anonymously is helping Rabbi Levi, the son of Lachmo, who said, Iyov b'mei Moshe oyo. Job was in the days of Moses. Now, the opinion of Rabbi Levi bar Lachmo is now going to be given proofs. He's going to give his proofs, and it's very interesting to observe here the style of Talmudic deduction, which is totally different from the style of contemporary literary criticism. What we're going to see here and in the ensuing sections is a very minute analysis of parallel verses which are being adduced to as proof of the statement. So here Rabbi Levi bar Lachmo says, Kesiv Ocho, it is written here, that is to say, in the book of Job later on, Mi Yitain Eifo V'Yechosvun Milai. Who would give that my words would be written? That is one of the statements of Job made in the course of his speeches in the book. If only these words of pain that he is saying would be written. And the Hebrew phrase in the Tanakh includes this Hebrew word, Eifor. Therefore, or if only my words would be written. Ochesiv osom uvameh yivoda Eifor. It's written over there, that is to say, in the book of Exodus, in the words of Moses to God, when Moses has petitioned God to show a unique providence over Israel, different from all of the other creatures of the world. And Moses says to God, if you do not now save the people after the sin of the golden calf and give us your unique providence for Israel, b'meh yivoda ephor, through what shall it be known therefore? So the use of the word ephor in our text in Exodus and in our text in Job in sentences of a similar construction, these two questions, who would give that my words would be written, and how will it be known that Israel are different from all of the other nations? This parallelism is the literary proof, the textual proof on which he bases his opinion, Rabbi Levi Bar Lachmo. So now the Talmud is going to adduce other places where the same Hebrew word ephor is used, which should indicate that the text of Job was written at a different time. Ve'emor b'yemei Yitzchok. Well, I would say Job was written in the days of Isaac. If you're going to use that argument about the use of the word ephor in Job, we find the word ephor in the story of Isaac also. Dichsiv, as it's written in Genesis, in the portion of Toldos, when Isaac has called Esau to bring him venison, so Isaac will bless Esau, but then Jacob steals in with food prepared by Rebekah, and when Jacob leaves with the blessings from Isaac, and Esau comes in now wanting to feed his father and get the blessings, Isaac says to him, "Mi ephor hu hatzod tzayid? Who therefore is he that trapped the prey, the venison, captured what he was hunting?" Again, the Hebrew word ephor in the verse in Genesis would indicate, if you're going to use the argument that the parallelism of the tombs will tell us when Job is to be dated, we'll say it's from the days of Isaac. And another counterproof, ve'emor, I could also say, b'mei Yaakov, well, maybe the book of Job was written in the days of Jacob. Dichsiv, imkein ephor zos osu. We see in the portion of Miketz, when the children of Jacob have gone down to Egypt and come back again and told Jacob that they can only return to Egypt with Benjamin, and Jacob eventually sees he has no choice. He says, Im Cain, if so, ephor, therefore, zois asu, do the following, take the various gifts that I will send to this Egyptian minister. Again, the Hebrew word ephor. Ve'emor, I could also say, if going to use the word ephor, the use of the word ephor in the text of Job to date it, b'mei Yosef, I could say it's in the time of Joseph, dichsiv, it's actually written in the beginning of the portion of Vayeshev, when Jacob sends Joseph to look out for his brothers, ephor heim ro'im, where are they pasturing their flocks? Again, the use of the Hebrew word ephor. The Talmud now rejects those opinions. Lo salka daitoch. You could not entertain the idea that it was in any other than the age of Moses. Not in the time of Isaac, not in the time of Jacob or Joseph. Dichsiv, for it's written in that very same verse that we quoted from Job above, who would give that my words would be written? The continuation of that very verse is, Mi yitain besefer v'yuchoku, who would give that my words would be inscribed in a sefer, in a scroll or a book? And the Hebrew word in Job used in that verse is v'yuchoku, indicating hakika, the hewing out, carving out of some message. Moshe u de ikri mechokek, and it is Moses that is called the mechokek in the Torah. The expression mechokek is an allusion to Moses. Dichsiv, for it is written in the Torah. Vayar reishis loy kishom chelkas mechokek. And he saw a beginning for himself, for there is the share of the mechokek, the giver of the statutes, the engraver of the statutes, sofun, hidden away and treasured up there. This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 21, which is the blessing of the tribe in which Moses' grave was to be found. So this refutation of the claim that the book of Job was written any other than the time of Moses is based on the fact that in the book of Job it speaks also about the work being written in a sefer. Well, now we have a different opinion brought by the Talmud. Rava, the Babylonian Amora, Rava Omer, Iyov b'yemei meraglim oyo. Job was in the time of the meraglim, the spies, as in the account in the book of Numbers. Ksiv ocho ish oyo be'eretz utz, Iyov shemo. It is written here, namely in the opening of the book of Job, the opening verse, Ish Oyo Be'eretz Utz, there was a man in the land of Utz, Iyov Shmo, his name was Job. Uksiv Asam, now it's written there, that is to say, in Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in the portion of Shalach Lecho, when Moses is about to send the spies, and he tells them what to look for when they come up from the wilderness into the land of Israel. And Moses says to them, Hayesh bo eitz, is there in that land, in it, a tree? So here, Rava is playing on the similarity between the word Utz, which is the name of the land where Job was said to have been, and the allusion in the verse in Numbers, Etz and Utz. Well, now, there is a deep Kabbalistic significance underlying these words of the Talmud here, as we shall see when we come to look at the teachings of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Ari Zal, on the soul of Iyov, where, in fact, in the section about the spies being sent by Moses, our commentators say that he was asking them, is there a tree, that is to say, a man who is solid like a tree, namely a righteous man that is acting as a protector for his generation. Moses needed to know that, to know whether the spies would be successful, whether Israel would be successful in conquering the land, because if the Canaanites had a righteous man that was protecting them, that would make it more difficult. So the Talmud, on the assertion of Rava, he says, Mi domi, are they really the same? The name of the land, Utz, and the word tree, Ocho Utz. Here in Job, it says the land of Utz. Asom Etz, there in Numbers, it says it's a tree. Ochiku Amalahu Moshe, Rava now explains, as against the question of the Talmud, Moses was saying to Israel at that time, Yeshnoi le'osei odom, Moses was asking them, in the paraphrase now of the Talmud, is there that man, is there some great man in the land of Canaan that his years are long like those of a tree, and who protects his generation like a tree? So now the Talmud goes off on another tangent, having just been asking, when did Job live? Yosef Ahume Rabbonon Kamed Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. There was sitting a certain scholar of the Babylonian Torah scholars before Rabbi Shmuel, son of Nachmani. V'yisiva v'ko'oma, he sat there and he said, Iov lo oyo v'lo nivro. Job never was, nor was he ever created. There was never such a person as Job. Elo, Moshel, Hoyo. It was all a parable. It's all an allegory. Omalei, said Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani in reply to this assertion by this student, Olecho Omar Kro, of you, says the verse, a verse which manifestly seems to contradict what you are saying in the opening words of Job, Ish Hoyo Be'eretz Utz. A man was in the land of Utz, Iov Shmo, by the name of Job. How can you say that he did not exist if the verse explicitly uses the word Hoyo, was? So now the Talmud asks a question on this. Elo me'ato, if you're going to argue like that, go to the second book of Samuel, when King David has taken Bathsheba as his wife and killed Uriah, her previous husband, and the prophet Nathan comes into David and he tells him a story about a poor man who had only a single lamb, and a wealthy man did not want to give one of his own lambs to feed his guests, so he took the single little lamb of the poor man. And the verse there in Samuel 2 says, V'lo rosh ein kol, ki im kivso achas ketano, asher kono v'yechaye. That poor man in Nathan the prophet's parable, he had nothing except one lamb, one little lamb that he had purchased and that he was keeping. Mihavo elo moshel be'almo. Was that saying of Nathan the prophet to Moses, to David, anything other than a parable? Ochaname moshel be'almo. Here too, this book of Job with all of its verbs telling a story, it's all a parable. Im Cain asks the Talmud, Shemoi b'shem iroi lomo. Why does the name of Job and the name of his city, the land of Utz, appear in the text if it's simply a parable and it really doesn't, those details of where he was and what his name were quite irrelevant if it's only a parable? Now the Talmud brings a different tradition. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar de Amri Tarvaihu. These two Amoras after the time of the redaction of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, the outstanding scholar of the land of Israel, and Rabbi Elazar, another of the early Amoras, the two of them both said, Iov mi oile goilo oyo. Job was one of those who came up from the exile. That would appear to refer to the exile of Judah in Babylon after the destruction of the first temple. And according to this opinion, Job was very much later than the time of Moses, a full around 900 years later on, among those who came up from the exile from Babylon. Uveis midrashoi b'tiver Yehoyal. And his center of studies was located in Tiberias. Mesivi. We raise a question on this assertion. We have a different tradition which is now brought here in the Talmud. Yemei Shenosof Shel Iyov, the days of the years of Job, states this present oral tradition, Mishor Shenichnesu Yisro LeMitzrayim Ad Sheyotzu, was from the hour that Israel entered Egypt until the time that they went out. So according to the tradition we've just now quoted, Job could not have been so later if the tradition says that he was that much earlier, apparently, from the time they went down to Egypt or the time they came out. Ema answers the Talmud to that question. Ema, I could say in answer, K'mi shor she'nichnesu Yisro le'mitzrayim v'ad shor she'yotzu. The days of Job's life were equivalent to the time span from the moment when Israel entered Egypt until the time they went out. In other words, if you are saying that he lived 210 years and you measure the 210 years by the span from Israel's entry into Egypt until the time they went out, it need not be that that 210 years was concurrent with Israel's being in Egypt, according to this opinion. Well, now the Talmud brings another objection to the idea that Job was one of the Judeans who came back from the Babylonian exile. And here is a very important midrash which shows a great deal, throws a great deal of light on the significance of the book of Job. Shiva o nevi'im nisnab'u le'umois ha'olam. There were seven prophets that prophesied to the peoples of the world. Ve'elu hein, these are they, Bil'om ve'oviv, Bil'om and his father Be'or, ve'iov, now comes Job himself, and followed by all of the other characters in the book, Eliphaz Atemani, Bildad Ashuchi, Tsofar Hanamosi, and Elihu ben Barach el Abuzi. Those five all appear in the narrative of Job, the first three being his three, besides Job himself, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar, his three companions, and then the fourth interlocutor, Elihu bar Barach el. So that's a total of seven. So if you, according to the obvious, simple meaning of this last tradition, these would appear to have been non-Israelite prophets. So how can you say, according to the previous statement, that Job was a Judean who was settled in Tiberias? Amalei, they said to the questioner here, well, a tamich, if you have just deduced the tradition that those seven prophets were all non-Israelites, Elihu ben Barachel lav Misrael avo, you seem to be saying that Elihu, the son of Barachel, was not an Israelite. V'hoksiv, but it's written in our text, Mimishpachas Ram, he comes from an exalted family. This is the family of Avraham. Avram, the founder of the Hebrew nation, so it seems that Elihu bar Barachel was an Israelite. Elo, so let's rephrase the last quoted tradition about these seven prophets. There were seven prophets in Vuyi in Velumus Elom. We can say that they gave their prophecies to the nations of the world. Achenami, here too, Iyov in Vuy in Vilumus Elam. So here let us say too that Job was one of those. He could have been a Judean that lived in Tiberias, but he was a later prophet that was prophesying to the nations of the world. Well, now here our Talmud is teaching us about the universal significance of the book of Job. It is plain from the words of the Talmud here that Israelite or not, the characters in the book of Job are prophets that are addressing all of the nations. So now the Talmud asks the question, are you saying that only those seven prophets prophesied to the nations? Is it not the case that all of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all of the others, did they not prophesy also to all the nations of the world? It's a very, very universal looking section of our Gemara. The Gemara answers here, Asom Iker Nevi'usayu L'Yisrael. Here, in the case of all of the other prophets of our Tanakh, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 so-called minor prophets, etc., although they were prophesying to all the nations, the essence of their prophecies was for Israel. But here, in the case of Job and his companions, whether Israelites or not, the essence of their prophecies are directed to the nations of the world. So we're still unclear, was Job a Judean that was in Tiberias, or was he in the time of Moses? Maisivi, we bring an objection to the previous suggestion that maybe Job was a Judean. Masivi, we are bringing in opposition to this a different oral tradition, which says, Chosid Oyo Be'umas Ha'ilom V'Iyov Shemoy. There was a chassid, there was a pious individual among the nations of the world. In other words, according to this present oral tradition, he was not an Israelite. He was one of the nations. Ve'iyov Shemor, his name was Job. Ve'loi bola olam elo kedei lekabel tzroi. He came into the world for no other purpose than to receive his reward. Hevi akudu bochu olav yisurim. The Holy One, blessed be He, brought upon Him suffering. Hischil mechorif megadif. He started blaspheming and denying the ways of God. Kofal loy akudul bochu schoroi ba'olam hazeh. The Holy One, blessed be He, doubled His reward in this world. Kedei letordoi min ha'olam habo, in order to banish him from the world to come. Now, this last tradition, which is very strange and raises many questions about God's providence, that He would give reward to somebody in this world in order to deny them the world to come. I will suggest that we will think about these last few lines of the Gemara here about Job as a pagan, pious man who came into the world to receive his reward. We will see when we look at the words of Ari, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Kabbalist, that perhaps some of the allusions in this particular section of the Talmud will become clearer. At any event, after all these different opinions that the Talmud has brought, the Talmud resolves the apparent discrepancies between them by the answer Tanoi. This is a dispute among the Tanaim, among the Mishnaic teachers. That is to say, we will not come to any conclusive determination who Job was, because the different Tanas have their different opinions, and as Tanas, they are entitled to their own opinions. Tanoi, here this is a Talmudic, a Tanaic, a machloket, a Tanaic dispute, Detanio, for we have learned in a Baraisa, in a different oral tradition, Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Iyov v'mei shvoita shiftim oyo. Rabbi Elazar says Job was in the time when the judges were judging. So this is a whole new opinion. Shenema, as it says, Hein atem kulechem chazisem velomo ze hevel tebolu. Indeed, you, all of you, have seen. So why are you spewing out vanity? So Job is accusing his companions here in this verse in the book of Job in chapter 27. He's accusing them of spewing vanity. And the Talmud asks, Ezeh dor shekulo evel, which is the generation that is entirely vanity? You can say that this was the generation in which the judges were judging. And now another opinion in the same Baraisa. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha Omer, Iyob ben Achashverosh Hoyo, a very radical new opinion. Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, in the same Baraisa, he says Job was in the days of Achashverosh, of the scroll of Esther, Shenema, and again, watch the proof he's going to bring. The book of Job tells us, V'lo nimtso noshim yofois kivonois Iyob b'chol ha'oretz. There were not found women that were as beautiful as the daughters of Job in all the land. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha asks, Ezehu dor shenisbak shubo noshim yofois? Which was the generation in which they were searching for beautiful women? That our text in Job should say, you couldn't find any women more beautiful than the daughters of Job. Which generation could that have been? Hevi Omer, you could say, Ze doire shel Achashverosh. This is the generation of Achashverosh, when after he executed his first wife Vashti, they went looking for a more beautiful new wife until they found Esther. Well, if that's the way you're going to argue, Ve'ema, I could say, Bimei Dovid. It could be in the age of King David, where also they were looking for a beautiful woman. Dichsiv, as we see written in the beginning of the book of first book of Kings, Vayivakshu Naro Yofo, they were seeking out a beautiful maiden for King David when he was old and cold. So they Vayivakshu Naro Yofo answers the Talmud, you could not say this was in the age of David. Why? Awesome, b'chol gevul Yisrael. In 1 Kings chapter 1, they were searching only within the whole boundary of Israel. Ocho, but here in Job, when it says that there were no more beautiful girls in the earth than those of the daughters of Job, b'chol ha'oretz, they were looking in the whole earth, and that is where they were looking for in the time of Achashverosh. The Baraisa now brings yet another opinion. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Iyob b'mei Malchus Shavu Oyo. Rabbi Nathan says Job was in the days of the ascendancy of the empire of Shavu. Shavu is either in the Arabian Peninsula or perhaps in Africa, wherever it is or was. Rabbi Nosson now adduces proof for his statement, Shenemar vatipol Shavu vatikhem. It says in the book of Job, when the Satan is sending these various disasters, that there came a contingent of invaders of Shavu and took his possessions. And now yet another opinion, V'hachomim omrim, other unidentified, unnamed sages say, Iyob b'mei kastim hoyo. Job was in the days of the kastim. They are normally considered to be the Chaldeans. They were the people of Babylon, who were the descendants of Kesed, the son of the brother of Abraham. Shenema kastim shmui. Kastim somu shloisha roshim. In the same section of Job where the disasters are coming on him one after the other in the beginning of the book, it is another of the invading peoples, of the kastim, who put three contingents of troops against him. Ve'yesh omrim iyo b'mei Yaakov hoyo. There are those that say that Job was in the time of Jacob. Ve'dino bas Yaakov noso. And Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, was the woman that Job married. And here is the textual proof. Ksiv Ocho, we have here in our text in Job, when Job is addressing his wife, who's just told him, why don't you just bless God and die? What are you carrying on with these troubles for? He says to her, Kidevar achas anavolois tadaberi. Like the words of one of the vulgar women are you speaking. Uksiv Ocho, but it's written, Uksiv Osam, it's written over there in Genesis, in the portion of Vayishlach, after Dinah has been captured, Ki Nevola Oso B'Yisrael, for Shechem, the son of Hamor, who raped Dinah, did Nevala, something dirty, filthy, vulgar in Israel. Now, all of the Tanaim that have been quoted above, they all consider that Job was from Israel, Levar Meyesh Omrim, with the exception of the opinion that we just heard, the name of the Yesh Omrim, those who say that Job was in the days of Jacob. For if you say that Job was from the nations of the world and not from Israel, after Moses died, how could it be that the Shekhinah rested in prophecy on the pagans? And we quote one of the sages who said, "Bikesh Moshe shelo tishre shchino alo b'dikachomim." One of the things Moses asked of God was that the holy divine presence should not dwell upon the nations, and he gave it to him. God granted his request. Shenemar, as it says in the portion of Kitisa in Exodus, Moses' request from God, V'niflinu aniva amacho, let us be different, let us be separated, me and your people, from all of the other nations. So, until this point, shall we look now into Talmud Bavli, and with the help of God, we will be looking at the Kabbalistic sources from the writings of Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the Arizal, on Job in our next session, and we shall see how Ari is bringing ideas that are clearly embedded in the passage of Talmud that we have just studied.